Holy Hockey at the IIHF 2019 Ice Hockey World Championship, Day 17. It's the final. Ta-da! And we're joined here by blue-ribboned guests on this most auspicious of days. We have Julie Robbenheimer.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
It's a delayed reaction.
You seem surprised to be here.
Nice.
And we also have Lucas Aykroyd. So pleased you could be with us, Lucas. A, because you started this whole podcast off way back in whenever it was.
I remember it well.
And secondly, because tonight more than ever, you're half Finnish.
I am. And half Canadian, I was going to win either way.
Either way. All right. Well, it's been an exciting day. Of course, the final. Also, the bronze medal game. And so much more for us to discuss. Let's begin with a quick check on the scores. Sunday night, Finland beat Canada 3-1 in the World Championship final. The Finns win gold, Canada takes silver, while Russia, who beat the Czechs 3-2 in a shootout earlier on Sunday, pick up bronze. Okay, let's start our look back with the gold medal game. Canada taking the lead, but undone by those hockey-playing Finns.
Mantha stays on it, pokes it back for Theodore, winds his way in, Jay Theodore shoots, scores! Mikko Oyamaki drops it back for Manninen. Antola moves in and shoots, scores!
Ja Mannisen on nopea syöttö sinne ja sitä lähtee nopea veto ja Pörkkä painaa koko lempäälän sekaisin.
Now Severs has lost his stick. Centering pass, Antola scores! Marko Antola again! And the Finns lead for the first time!
Severssonin kanssa, Severson menettää mailansa, Savinainen maalin eteen! Ja arvatkaa kuka tulee! Arvatkaa kuka tulee! Jättiläinen puskee maalille! Loistava karvaus siellä maalin takana!
Pettinen, in shoot scores! Harry Pettinen and the Finns lead 3-1!
Pesonen pääsee sitä kuittaamaan varsin hyvä ja sitten menee!
The Finns have won the World Championship in Bratislava.
Suomi voittaa maailman mestaruuden. Muutama sekunti jäljellä, sekunnit kuluvat. Kaikkien aikojen temppu suomalaisessa jääkiekossa on tapahtunut. Suomi voittaa MM-kultaa numeroin 3-1. Voi herran pojat, minkä teitte! Voi herran pojat, minkä teitte!
Let's hear from Tessa Bonhom in the winning team's dressing room with Sakari Manninen and Kapo Kakko.
First and foremost, congratulations. What was so special about this group to have you guys win this tournament and come together the way you did?
Russell, thank you. And the feeling is amazing. I know everybody in this team knows this is a dream. Dream we have to work if we want something. And I think we work all the time, you know. Every time in the play was started, the team is coming together and more, and we believe each other more and more, and that it's a huge ranks inside the team we have. We know it when we put everything in the ice, we have to be a chance to beat everybody. It doesn't matter what team is coming, we have the chance to beat everybody, and now we show it like we beat everybody, and the feeling is amazing. It feels like a privilege to be a part of that kind of team.
Gabo, quite the tournament for yourself, a world junior win and now this. What does it feel like, two championships in one year?
Yeah, it feels so good. What a team.
You look around, you see all this inspiration around you. What does it feel like now to be one of those legends that will be up on the wall?
I think this is the best day of my life. So nice.
And as for this team, did you guys always have the belief that you could be wearing this gold medal this day?
We believe it. We know it. We don't have so many NHL players, but if we play together, we can win this, and we did it.
Wow. Now, Julie, you've just come from that mix zone where those players were saying those things. What was the mood like?
Obviously joyous for the Finns, not so much for the Canadians. Right. I was talking to Damon Severson and he says, you know, we feel like we did a really good job in this tournament and that we deserved gold. The challenge is that the only two games that they lost were against the Finns.
Isn't that curious? The same scoreline they started and ended their tournament with against the same opponent.
Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where they just felt that, they did enough to deserve it. They just didn't go home with it.
What do you say to that, Lucas?
Well, I would say that this is the unprecedented accomplishment in Finnish hockey history, that the Finns have always been the psychological underdogs against the Canadians. They had never previously beaten them in a U18 final, a World Junior final, or a World Championship final.
And I believe it's been three times they've come face-to-face in a World Championship final, and they've lost each one.
This is the fourth time, yes.
Right.
Exactly. All the way back to 1994 when Luc Robitaille's shootout goal ended Canada's 33-year gold medal drought at the World Championship.
Well, my favorite quote after the game tonight was from Oliver Kaske, and he said, you know, you see all of those commercials about how guys are speechless and they don't know what to say and they don't know how they're feeling. And he goes, I know exactly how they feel now. I don't remember a thing.
Well, we'll talk a little bit maybe about why Canada didn't deserve the gold medal, but let's start with why Finland did. It was a different game to the one they played against the Russians, but equally effective.
It's one of those things where they had a game plan, and they like to say that we play our own game, but playing our own game means a team game, that they're cohesive with what they're trying to do. They do game plan for their opponent. It's not like they just play the way they play and everybody else has to deal with it. No, they are incredibly strategic with what they do in terms of how they do it and when they do it and what happens throughout the game. Because I don't know if you saw it, but as soon as they scored that go-ahead goal to take the lead, they shut it down defensively almost immediately and just swallowed up every opportunity. So they definitely went in with a strategy and said, this is how we got to do it. This is how we're going to get the lead. And then once we get the lead, this is what we're going to do. So it is different than how they beat the Russians. But in terms of their strategy, it's exactly the way they play.
The way this game started out was incredibly scrappy. It was very tetchy. There were a lot of fights. There were a lot of penalties. And then in the second period, something switched. And we had this spell of, I think, 9 minutes without a single whistle when it was electric hockey.
Well, there's two things. One is that most North American teams, whether it be Canada or the United States, will want to play a physical game because they feel that the European teams don't know how to handle that and it's easy to get under their skin. And that is, I think, what you saw from the Finnish team, because the Finns have a lot of bite. You know, they will bite back. They're not necessarily the instigators. They won't go out and play that game. But if you want to play that game, they're happy to play it with you. And I think you saw that, but then you also saw them get burned on a couple of penalties that they probably didn't want to take against a Canadian team with a really good power play. And so I think it was one of those things where they said, you know what, guys, we can't afford to play like this. We need to keep it clean and not be in the box because we can't risk this. This is not something that we want to play with. So I think that that's what you saw in that sense. And as soon as that happened, you saw the mind shift change and things got a lot more interesting in terms of the back and forth hockey.
So Canada had opened the scoring when Anthony Mantha turned the puck over and fed it back to Theodore, who kind of waltzed through the middle and then put it past Lankin. And Canadian fans must have been thinking, well, here we go. But then after that, there was a long period where they couldn't get anything together when the Finns just seemed to switch on control.
Well, in the third period, Canada really turned it on.
There were a lot.
The shots were 21-3. They were all over them at that point. You know, the Finns did a very good job, but I mean, they were in siege mode in the third and certainly deserving. But that third period, a lot of credit has to go to Finnish goalie Kevin Lankinen.
Will he be suddenly getting a call from the Chicago Blackhawks?
Well, he's already there. He's already in the system. He does play for their AHL team. He was the backup for them this year. So I think he's earned an opportunity to get a little bit more playing time. And but again, you know, you always have to look at the organizational depth and see what is there. But he's definitely, if he doesn't have a better chance within the Chicago Blackhawks organization, he has definitely increased his trade value.
I will say my save of the tournament would be Lankinen on Mark Stone, the tournament MVP, with about 6 minutes left. That is the guy you want. in that position. The game is still within reach. If Stone scores there, you see what he did throughout the tournament. So many clutch goals against Switzerland, opening the score in the semifinal against the Czech Republic. That would have been a huge difference maker. And Lankinen shuts him down.
Right.
And then a few minutes later, Harri Pessanen scores. And you know, a two-goal gap is a lot more daunting in that situation, especially against a defensive wall like the Finns.
Absolutely. We also need to salute the incredible Marco Anttila, who brought the Finns to the semi-final with that equalizer against Sweden to force overtime there. He got the goal that put the Russians out, and he got the first two goals here. Does he kind of epitomize the underdog status of this Finland team? When you look at his career, when you look at his status as, what, a third liner with, yeah, with Jokerit in Finland? And then pretty much winning the world championship for Finland.
He's had an incredible tournament. This is a huge feather in his cap, not only with what he was doing on the ice, but as their captain and as their leader and kind of bringing this, I don't want to call them a band of misfits, but it's probably a good term for them, together to win this championship. You know, he leads by example in his everyday career and what he does. And it was the same here. And everybody just bought into it. And from a fan perspective, I know fans are just so thrilled. And he had two shots at the empty net, and everybody wanted him to get the hat trick. So it's one of those things where, you know, when you work hard, good things happen, and sometimes that means you win a world championship.
What I love about Marco Anttila is that he is, in fact, a living cartoon character. And I say this not just because the man is the most effective 6'8" Finnish hockey player in history, but you may have heard the chants from the stands, "Murke, Murke." That is a Finnish character in a children's series, the Moomins,
yeah.
Tuve Jansson, the little hippo-like creatures. You've got cafes around the world. They're very cute. Well, Murke in the Moomin books is a character that's known as the Grok in English, who is this tall, silent presence that just kind of glides in and mesmerizes everybody and then goes away and then comes back. And I mean, that is Marco Anttila in a nutshell right there. He is part of Finnish pop culture now, right, and forever.
I'm so glad you mentioned Tove Jansson's wonderful books. I'm trying to explain to our producer Lucy about them, but she sadly doesn't know, but that's something for her to enjoy in the off season.
It's all about education.
It certainly is.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
All right, guys, well, let's just get a little bit more reaction now from the Finns with Toni Raiola.
Toni, you have just beaten three of the best teams in the world, and now you guys are world champions. Can you actually believe it?
I can. How we started this tournament already, like against Canada and Slovakia, we saw right away, like, we can do this. We can do this, and oh boy. What a games we played against Sweden, Russia, today Canada. Like, they were all over us in the first period. Then we stepped up, and oh boy, what a third period from us. And again, Lankinen was awesome in the net. Our D-mans, forwards, they were blocking shots, and boom, three goals, and that's it.
Now we just heard that in Finland, 3 million people of 5.5 actually watched this match. It's huge at home, isn't it? What are you expecting?
For sure, a lot of people. Probably not everybody, but at least half, for sure, they were watching and believing us. Probably not in the first period. It looked bad, but we stepped up and we played awesome and really deserved this gold medal. It was awesome team effort, whole tournament, and I'm so proud of these guys and the coaching staff, and oh boy, what a team.
Incredible numbers, as we heard, following the final in Finland. The man narrating it for the supporters back home is the figure who's been the voice of Finnish hockey for decades now, the legendary Antero Metaranta, who saluted the victory thus.
Suomen historian kolmas maailman mestaruus.
Well, straight after the buzzer sounded in Bratislava, as the team were celebrating, we stuck our microphone under his nose to hear how he was feeling in English. And listener, apologies, because it was really noisy and there may be a little bit of distortion on this.
This is your third gold medal with Finland.
Exactly, yes. Third gold medal, yes.
How does this rank compared to the others?
This is the biggest surprise in Finnish ice hockey history, and I think it's like the USA made in Lake Placid in 1980. It's a collapse. It's a huge case in Finnish history.
And were you surprised at how well this team has come together and how completely they won this final?
Yeah, I was surprised, and the whole Finland is surprised, and I think the whole world, ice hockey world, is surprised, because this is the team in a big team, really big team.
What was the moment? We've seen your commentary throughout the tournament. It's been amazing. What was the most emotional moment for you this evening?
Marko Myrky Anttila and Kevin Lankinen and the whole team.
Great to catch up with him just as the ceremony was going on. And what a character, Julie.
Well, it's funny you bring up Lake Placid and the miracle on ice, because one of the reporters asked Kaapo Kakko if this was equivalent to the miracle on ice. And he was like, what? And he asked again, and he's like, I don't.
He probably thought they were talking about frozen.
He's far too young to know what the miracle on ice is. And then we finally said, do you feel that this was like a big, big win in Finnish hockey? He goes, yes, definite. Big win.
Okay, so let's just, we've talked a lot about them as underdogs, and you call them a band of misfits, but just once again, to put it into perspective, how fair a comparison is that in terms of the status of the Canadian roster and that of the Finns?
I think it's absolutely fair, but I think you have to frame it not just in terms of the Canadians, but also the Russians and the Swedes. You have a defending champion you've knocked off. You've got a Russian team that is unbelievably stacked with former NHL scoring champions, possibly the best goalie in the world in Andrei Vasilevsky. And then Canada, a very, very good team, and certainly one that would be favored against Finland. This is almost unprecedented in terms of how anonymous this Finnish roster was coming into this tournament. You even look back at the last time the Finns won in Slovakia. They had players like Mikko Koivu, Tuomo Ruutu, who were established NHLers, Mikael Granlund, who was considered to be a prospect with a bullet, similar to Kaapo Kakko in a way, but there was no way that this Finnish team was supposed to go this far. It is truly stunning. When you look at the other big upsets in international history, after Lake Placid, we usually talk about Belarus upsetting Sweden at the 2002 Olympics, Vladimir Kopat scoring from center ice on Swedish goalie Tommy Salo, and that was huge. The Swedes had so many great players, the Matt Sundins and the Marcus Naslunds of the era. But again, a quarterfinal. This was a gold medal game. And also Finland beating Canada for the first time. You know what the championship trophy of the Finnish league is called, the playoff trophy? The Kanada Malja, which means the Canada Bowl. It was donated to Finland in 1951 by the Finnish community. So that's a nice tribute, but by the same token, you can see how that would confer a slight psychological edge on Canada in any meeting with Finland. And I think, especially now with the success the Finns have had at the junior level too, that edge has dissipated, if not vanished entirely.
All right, world champions at under 18 should, for many people, have been world champions in the women's world championship, and now taking the victory, taking the gold medal in Bratislava.
One of the things that Lucas said that I think needs some more love is that Kevin Lankinen, it is a travesty that he is not only the goalie of the tournament, either from the directorate or from the media, but quite possibly the MVP, because as you mentioned, you look at the teams that they had to go through in the medal rounds to get here, Sweden and Henrik Lundqvist, and then you have Vasilevsky, and then you have two-time Stanley Cup champion Matt Murray. This guy showed up in this tournament in ways that nobody expected him to.
I would say that might be the greatest trifecta of defeated goalies ever at an international hockey tournament.
It's incredible. I have no words to properly express how much of an underdog. This guy was an AHL backup.
What was his team?
The Rockford Ice Hogs. It blows my mind. And he comes here ready to play, and he shows up.
Against Russia, against the KHL's top scorer, the NHL's top scorer, and all the rest of them. 32 saves, not a goal conceded.
It's incredible what he's been able to do. And so like I said before, whether he gets an opportunity in Chicago to push for more ice time there, he has definitely increased his trade value, and people are going to become calling.
I will add, there was a moment late in the game, Kevin Lankinen makes a glove save, and you see him catch the puck, and he brings the glove up in this very confident manner, like, I got
this. Absolutely. I remember
that. And that took me right back to watching Grant Fuhr do the same thing with the Wayne Gretzky Oilers of the 1980s, Patrick Roy with the Montreal Canadiens and the Colorado Avalanche. This is a swagger. And that's just so essential. Finnish teams for so many years in the 90s and the 2000s, they would battle their guts out, but they would find a way to blow it in the end. Whether it was the 2001 final leading 2-0 against the Czechs, and David Morovich ends up scoring the overtime winner for the Czechs. You know, they blow that 5-1 lead in the quarterfinal against Sweden in 2003. I mean, Finnish hockey used to be all about heartbreaks, silvers, or diligent bronze medals, and not anymore. You can see now that they really go into tournaments, regardless of who they have on the roster, expecting to win.
So it's been a great tournament, and they are wonderful winners of it. Should Team Canada be reproaching themselves for something, or did they just come up against a very, very special team?
I think they just came up against a very special team. There's nothing that I would look at Canada and be like, oh, they played this poorly or anything like that. They attacked the way that they wanted to attack. But like I said, Finland just does this team game, team effort. Everybody's playing for everybody. And I feel like one of the interesting things, I asked their head coach, Jukka Jalonen, yesterday after this semifinal, and I said, in general, Finnish hockey is all about the team and playing for the team and having a team game and committing to the game plan and executing it perfectly. But I feel like you guys do even better when you don't have your superstars. Like, I mean, even if you look, and at all levels, you look at the World Junior Championships. I remember last year was one of the best lineups that they put together, and they finished sixth. And this year they come in again with a hardworking, but really no superstars outside of Ville Tolvanen, and they win a gold medal. And kind of the same idea here. They have two part-time NHLers, and the rest are all from Finland and working their way towards the NHL, and they win gold here. And so I asked, I said, what is it about it? And he goes, well, it's basically, it's like, it's simple math. You have 17 days and you play 10 games in those days. If you play some guys more than others, the guys that you need the most are going to be too tired when it counts the most. And he says, so we want a team that can roll four lines, that everybody can do their part and play the same. And then that way we have fresh legs, and other teams who maybe don't manage their minutes the same are a little bit tired.
And Jalonen has implemented that philosophy in different ways in the past. Like when he was the coach in 2011, he went with eight defensemen. And none of these guys were big names. They were not Drew Doughty and Erik Karlsson, people like that. They were hardworking journeymen from the KHL, but he made that work, and he found another way to make it work in 2019.
And I will say this, that a lot of people talk about Rickard Granberg to come to the NHL and be, you know, an international coach over there. And Jukka Jalonen is completely underrated. And I think a lot of NHL teams will be interested to chat with him, if not this year, in the not too distant future.
Also today at the World Championship, the bronze medal game, as a red-faced red machine tried to pick themselves up from their semi-defeat to the Finns on Saturday by securing at least a medal. They did manage it, but it was close. 2-2 against the Czech Republic in regulation, Russia then winning in the shootout with a goal from Nikita Gusev.
Comes in the shootout. Gusev in, scores! And now the Czechs have to score to stay alive. Ronick works it,
nope.
And Vasilevsky ran him out of room, and the Russians have won it.
Let's hear from the Russian captain Ilya Kovalchuk, and first, the beaten Czech goalie, Simon Hrubek.
We don't score. Yes, every penalty is 50-50. So but Kovalchuk made it so fast. I think that it's something his special backhand, and Gusev, he got a bit lucky, I think, but we don't score any goal, so I don't care what about if we score or if we not. I have to do my job best what I know, and today I go I had two goals for free penalty, and it's not good.
We have some good shooters, but I was 100% sure in our goalie, so because I play against him in practice every day, and it's not easy to beat him one-on-one. He's the best player of the tournament, obviously. You know, every game he gives us a chance. Against Finland, he stopped, I don't know how many shots today, he stopped 50, so he's the best player for sure.
Well, Lucas, 2-2 after overtime, 3-2 in the shootout. Russia looking overjoyed with their bronze medals.
Well, it was a necessary medal for Russia. Very disappointing outcome for the Czech Republic, which had a good tournament, starting off with that win over Sweden. But the Russians brought a team here with three former NHL scoring champions. And under those circumstances, having lost to the Finns, they needed something. And they got it, largely thanks to goalie Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Right, because would it be fair to say that the Czechs looked the better side in this game, but the Russians had Vasilevskiy?
Exactly. The Czechs were all over the Russians in the third. They outshot them 18-6. Vasilevskiy came up huge over and over again. And then we go to the shootout and he's perfect. And the Russian skill comes through at the other end.
Grigorenko opened the scoring for Russia. And then almost immediately the Czechs struck back. And it was extraordinary the amount of room that Repic was allowed. A neat pass through to open him up, I guess, in the slot. And he puts it away. Do you think the Russians had pretty much shut up shop? Were they still reeling from what had happened to them at the hands of the Finns on Saturday?
It's a big mental adjustment. The Russians looked like clearly the class of the tournament, and then they ran into the Finnish defensive game, and the Russians have not adjusted well to playing the Finns. We saw the same thing happen, a variation, in Sochi in 2014 when the Finns took out the Russians in a $50 billion party by the Black Sea that did not pan out for the host team. And the Russians, they just have a hard time dealing with that Finnish defensive wall. I will say that they were less prone to the total individualism that sometimes overtakes them when they fall behind, but nonetheless, disappointing. And I think, is lucky for them that they had Vasilevskiy back there in the bronze medal game.
And he was perfect in the shootout at the end. Nikita Guzev with a fabulous move, although I did notice that the Czech keeper, Hrubek, said that he thought he'd been a bit lucky with that final penalty shot.
Well, he goes for the five hole and bounces in off the pad. I don't think it was executed as perfectly as Guzev would like. But, you know, Guzev, a very creative player. Going to be interested to see how his game translates to the Vegas Golden Knights next year. He's one of those guys who makes things up on the fly. So maybe even Guzev didn't know what he was going to do.
Nice. Okay. Did pretty well last season. KHL top scorer, no?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's exciting for fans in Las Vegas. So the Czechs didn't live up to potential. The Russians got their bronze medal, and that's the action on this final day. Before we leave you, though, let's have a little listen to some of the many people who've made this tournament so enjoyable for us with their favourite memories from the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship. To begin with, a man who joined us back at the start of the tournament, IIHF president himself, Rennie Fassel.
I'm very, very happy how the organizer did, how we had a very, very good hockey, unbelievable fans, and good media coverage. So I think it's just a dream for me what we achieved here in these 2.5 weeks.
That semi-final between Finland and Russia was undoubtedly one of the moments of this championship. What else for you has been a particular highlight?
Yeah, I mean, I was following a little bit the Slovak team. The highlight is that Canada, you know, with 0.3 seconds, they win. Actually, they come back to Switzerland, and now they are in the final. Can you imagine? So, and once again, this is a story about sport. This is the emotion, the spirit, the surprise, what people actually love.
Incredibly fine margins. There have also been some pretty wide margins. There's been a number of really heavy victories, which have would almost underline the massive gap at the moment between Division One and the World Championships. What can the IIHF do? What are you looking to do to help teams like Italy and Great Britain come back next year, maybe better prepared?
It's not easy. I mean, actually, they were just preparing for one game. I spoke with Lou Vairo, who was working with the Italian team, said, hey, come on, at least you have to score one goal. He said, Rene, we keep the goals for the last game. And he did, you know. So we have maybe changed a little bit this attitude. If they want to grow, they have not to prepare just only for one team, for one game. They should prepare for the whole tournament. And I think they will, you know. It's a long, long process for being a top hockey nation. So as Finland was not, now they are a top nation. Switzerland is coming. Germany is coming. Latvia is coming. That needs a lot of effort. So, yeah, we just continue. We try hard.
Okay, let's have some more moments of the World Championship selected by some of our many contributors. Alex Appleyard, Thomas Prokop, Thomas Vilberg, Story Cersei, Andy Potts, Frances Ekuna, Tessa Bonhomme, and Darren Draker.
My moment of the tournament is Damon Severson's epic game-time goal in the quarterfinals versus the Swiss. The Swiss had looked like they'd stymied the Canadian offense all game. Switzerland are up 2-1 in the waning seconds of the game. Mark Stone from the left point passes across to Damon Severson. Damon Severson hammers a shot. Rebound comes straight back to Severson. He shoots again, and it just gets past Giannone to bring the game into the overtime, and I guess the rest is history.
Stone feeds it back. Severson a drive. That's blocked by Moser. Severson shoots again. Scores!
My moment of the tournament is yesterday game Finland against Russia, because Finland played a great game and it was whole team spirit, and they beat the Russian super team with a great players, only with two NHL players. It was, for the hockey fan and for the hockey people, it was one of the greatest game and surprise in 10 years maybe.
30 sekuntia on jäljellä ja sitten toppaan. Muutama sekunti, valtava spektaakkeli. On tulossa jätti.
My highlight of the tournament must have been the way Kaapo Kakko has played. He's just 18 years old. He started the tournament with scoring 5 goals in 2 games, including obviously a hat-trick. And the way that young boy has embraced all the attention he has gotten from media and the fans and everything, he is spectacular.
Mikola drops it back, score! Kaapo Kakko has struck again! And Raiola chips out ahead, and a lead pass. That's Kakko in alone. Kakko back, headshot, score!
Well, my moment of the tournament was Michael Raffl's Bobby Orr goal for Team Austria against Team Italy. Now, it was the relegation game for both teams. It was do or die. Unfortunately, Austria fell 3-4 to Italy. But I remember watching that play happen. Raffl goes in for the net, and then he leaps into the air and scores almost at the same time. And for someone who wasn't really around to see that Bobby Orr goal, I think this is probably as close to seeing a Bobby Orr-style goal that I will ever get to in my life.
Chance in front of the net for Raffl, scores! Michael Raffl.
And then have the wherewithal to cut. Pull it all the way across on the dive. This is the anniversary of the Bobby Orr goal sometime around now.
My highlight of the tournament was probably seeing the interplay between Nikita Gusev and Nikita Kucherov. You know, all that backstory of playing together as 6-year-olds at a school in Moscow and coming through the ranks and now doing it on the international stage. And just the kind of telepathy between them. If you look at the goals that they scored, particularly early in the tournament, you know, the passing, the instinct, just the knowledge of where they would be on the ice. It was a great thing to see, and it was, you know, one of the real highlights for me during this competition.
Kucherov on the puck, plays it back. Kucherov into the slot. Shot made. Score! Gusev finds the far corner through traffic.
For me, one of the most interesting moments at the tournament was how the Austrian fans cheering during the game. It was, I guess, 0-7 in the game Austria-Sweden, and there was about 400 people in the crowd, and they started making like a snake all over the stadium. Everyone, all of the crowd, had a high five with it, and that was so cool.
My moment of the tournament is when Finland defeated Sweden in the quarterfinals. I feel like that was the moment when that team really proved themselves as true underdogs. They don't have that big star power line or defenseman or goalie, but they proved to everyone that a team game, a solid team game, wins you this tournament. I'm a big fan of what they've done here and the way they've handled themselves and the way they've played hockey, because they've done it the right way.
In comes Manon, walks in, shoots, scores! Sakari Manninen, overtime winner, and the Finns have knocked out the Swedes.
Highlight of the tournament for me would be Great Britain winning the game in overtime with Ben Davies scoring in dramatic fashion to avoid relegation. Now, I felt bad for Team France because they played pretty hard, but Britain was such a wonderful story, and every player, everyone associated with that country and that team, it was sheer euphoria. I've covered this championship now for probably, well, 5 straight years. It would easily be in my top 3 experiences.
GB have done the impossible! Staying up from 3-0 down. They win this game in overtime by 4-3. It is absolutely incredible.
Days, there's a lot of memories. Is there something else that stood out for you, Julie?
Well, I think one of the more, I mean, it's not a good moment. It was kind of sad if you think about it, but it was when Leon Draisaitl scored to give Germany the win over Slovakia. And what I loved the most about it was just still how passionate the Slovakian fans were throughout the rest of the tournament, because that was a tough pill to swallow for them. They knew at that moment that unless USA had a complete collapse, that they were out of the tournament, and they still continued to cheer for their team and show how much pride they had for them. And I loved going to every single Team Slovakia game after that, just to see how pumped those fans were. And I know that the team itself was so proud of them and wanted to give them the wins that they came for. So it's one of those things too, where you look at it and you say, oh, you had 4 wins, you were above 500, and you don't make the quarterfinals. But again, just the fans and how passionate they were and how much they rallied around that team was really something special, and I will not forget it.
And it's nice that they did actually finish off with that win, the shootout win against Denmark,
yeah. And the fact that Vladislav Nagy got the game winner in his very last game. I think it was 122 games for Team Slovakia. So just a tremendous moment for them in general. And it would have been a really bummer of a ceremony had they not won that game. So all around, it was a big win.
What about you, Lucas?
Well, as we were saying, a lot of nice milestones at this tournament. Andres Ambiol coming in at game number 100 for the Swiss. I've kind of grown up with the guy and all these world championships I've been covering.
So this was his 15th. So you've been here longer than he has, to be fair.
I really have. Armin Helfer from the Italian team and I have been around since the very start. He was also at my first world championship in 2000. But then even Ilya Kovalchuk, the MVP last year at the Olympics, recorded his 179th national team game with Russia today, and that ties him with Ilya Nikulin for the all-time lead. So,
how about that? Patrick Kane also became, I think, the U.S.'s all-time international scorer, is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
And Alexander Ovechkin didn't do very much. He did make that incredible save of the tournament when the puck was whizzing towards, was it Kovalchuk's face?
I want to say Dadanov's face.
Oh, it was Dadanov's face, you're absolutely right. And he just casually puts his hand out and plucks it from the air.
Oh, on the bench. Yeah. That's what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
Did you also see the moment when Ovechkin put Cher into the bench? Into the Russian bench?
Yeah, Brady Shea. You know, it's funny, you were talking about that save, and I was like, I don't remember that save. But then I'm now on the bench, and he was so casual about it, too. It's just like, boop. Like, I got it. No problem.
Safety first. It is an IIHF tournament.
But in Russian terms, it wasn't the tournament they expected. But for me, one of the standout 20 minutes was their second period against Sweden, when they started a goal down and put 6 unanswered goals past the reigning world champions and looked absolutely unstoppable.
I think that's when everybody was like, uh-oh, this is going to be a steamroll to the gold medal. So it's just incredible. And they were an incredibly talented team. Their goaltending was outstanding. Their defense was unbelievable. Their offensive attack just kept coming and was relentless in waves. When you look at teams like that and on paper, you know, the medals should have been like Russia, Sweden, and USA, and Canada. That should have been the final four. And so, again, one of those things when you say, this is why you don't play the games on paper.
Right.
You play them on the ice and anything can happen.
Absolutely. Because Finland.
Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Still can't believe it.
Well, that's it then. Many thanks to you, Julian Lucas, for being with us tonight and indeed throughout the tournament. And thanks to everyone who joined us, producer Lucy, for staying up all night editing. And most of all, you, dear listener, the IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship will be returning next year on the 8th of May, 2020 in Switzerland. We'll see you then.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Mighty Knees Media production in association with In Front.